For centuries, we humans have put the stuff we value into safe houses and locked it away. Historical artifacts, precious metals, biological specimens, and some art, too. This was mostly done by the powerful and privileged, those who had or stole stuff valuable enough to try to save. But they mostly kept it to themselves. And it was only pretty recently that such treasures were made available to the likes of us. Now it seems every city must have one, if not several, of these public storehouses for allegedly non-functional objects. Why do we need these? And why should we visit them not just once, but again and again and again? The word comes from the Greek museion, or seat of the muses, referring to places like the ancient museum at Alexandria, which housed manuscripts and was more like a modern-day library and university. The Latin derivation museum described for ancient Romans places for philosophical discussion. Now, there was certainly art at the time, but it was paintings honoring the gods housed in Pinacotec on the Acropolis. And of course, the wealthy had art in their homes, just as they do today. But as far back as we can trace, people have treasured and hoarded objects. During the Italian Renaissance, the Medicis amassed an enormous collection, which they eventually gave to the state as a public good. National museums sprang to life in Europe in the 18th century, as the wealthy gave up their collections to be preserved and shared after their deaths. Revolution forced the opening of the French royal collections to the public. Collecting stuff is, and always has been, complicated, be they trophies of war or conquest, objects of worship, exotic curiosities, or even recently completed paintings. The objects that populate our museums have been removed from their original context, wrested from the individuals and communities and civilizations that birthed them. Museums uphold the charge of not only keeping these things safe, but recontextualizing them in novel and enlightening ways, making them available to us for enjoyment and study, and returning them to their rightful owners when called for. Being stewards of these objects means experimenting with their classification, their description, their juxtaposition with things similar and dissimilar. How we display things has shifted over the centuries. From the tightly packed arrangement of natural specimens and miscellany in the Wunderkammers, or cabinets of curiosity, of 16th and 17th century Europe, to paintings hung salon style in the grand galleries of the Louvre in the 19th century, and all the way to now, when the near ubiquitous white cube is the display convention of choice, and technology has transformed how we learn about what we're seeing. What museums do is bring us into contact with the things that those before us have made and used and valued. Philosopher Georges Didi Ubermann wrote in 2003 that in each historical objects, all times encounter one another, bifurcate, or even become entangled with each other. Things in museums can give us clues as to what it was like to be a particular person in a particular place at the particular time they were made. But they can also provide us access to other temporalities, to each moment since the object's creation when it was altered, sold, changed hands, when it entered the collection, and when it has and has not been on display. Museums are sites where we can visibly see the negotiation of values, what they are now, what they used to be, and what we hope they'll be in the future. It's in these places that we can revisit and revise histories. The real value of museums lies not in their ability to anesthetize us with beauty, but in their power to make us active agents in reconsidering our histories, understanding where we are now, and what we might be able to do to change what happens next. This work happens not in the art itself or in the wall labels, but inside our heads. A museum turns out to be more like a university or library after all, and that's also why it's worthwhile to return again and again.